people had just got to the point where they were so damn confused and so boiling and upset about it that if we came along to June the 29th or June the 30th, and actually they had to blow the whistle and they had to say, you folks in these districts have not complied and therefore your funds are going to be cut off, well, a logical, reasonable goat in the deal was going to be us right here on the state level who had apparently sat idly by and hadn't even tried to find out what the rules of the game are. What I've said to my people is that if they'll tell us what the rules of the game, and I realize we don't want to get too stringent about it, but I said, if they tell us, I'm going to tell you and you've got to play by them. And if you don't play by them, you're going to lose your federal money. So you make up your mind whether you're willing to abide by the rules or not. Just give you an example, in Milledgeville, Georgia, which is Carl Benson's home, which you're familiar with, the federal court in that district, in the adjoining county, has approved a plan for Bibb County. So the Milledgeville School Board, in compliance, what they thought was compliance under these regulations, they adopted...
Yes, sir. Who's buzzing? Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I'm waiting for it to come out. And they ended.
2 hours before we get here, 2 hours before we get there, and everything's there. And all they want to do is just cut the cord there, cut a head off, and throw it into the hall. And they want to do me the same way. They are on the phone right now. We're trying to do it what we think the constitutional way, and these cats back there, they won't wait.
Speaker came out against us today, and the House wrote it in the bill, and they just got no sense about these things, and it gets down ultimately where you 40-10 in the poll tax, it's 46-4, and nobody wants it. And Katzenbach says that he ought to be able to go into a three-judge circuit court, and he ought to present any case of discrimination and provide for direct appeal to the Supreme Court. These fellas just say, by God, you oughtn't have any poll tax, and you can't have any. And Katzenbach said, if they say, well, you can't have a poll tax, they can say you can't have a gas tax or a cigarette tax or anything else. Federal government's telling the states pretty tough what their business is. Now, you can say that they can't discriminate, but I've got to prove that it discriminates. Now, I can't prove it in Texas. There are more niggers voting there than there are white folks. There are more of them buying poll taxes than there are white folks. Higher percentage of them. And I can't show that the literacy test is discriminated against because they haven't got any. They got no test at all. Just by God, anybody that can get up and pay $1.06 can vote. And so let me do it the right way. And if Alabama won't let a Negro vote because of poll tax, and I can show that and prove it, I'll go into a three-judge court, and I'll go right direct to the Supreme Court. But that's not good enough for them. 45 of them, most of them Democrats. 39 of them were Democrats. Majority of my party went against in the Senate, and they make me look like, by God, that I'm trying to go back to Bilbo. They won't make a Bilbo out of me. And I'm heading to ticker tonight. Said Speaker McCormick gave Johnson administration a big jolt today when he came up. So that's the heat of the thing, and it's not going to bother me. I mean, I can take it out. What I don't want to happen, and I very much don't want this to happen, because we know Wallace has his views, and we know that Johnson has his. He's been pretty good. I've had no problem dealing with Johnson. But we know those poor people that live in those states, and we know they're good people, and we know that they're God-fearing people. And we know if we ever want to go up Mount Sriracha or put that goddamn flag on the top of a hill, we know who's going to be there with it. It's going to be some old boy from Alabama, or Mississippi, or Georgia, or Texas, or somewhere else. The rest of them are going to be some of them 4Fs. And I just don't want to make them so damn mad that they just can't, in self-respect, hold a head up. And that's my problem, and it's hell for me, and I just...
I want to help you, and that's what I'm trying to do.
I know that.
And that's what I'm trying to do is that by now, and I mean this sincerely, by now, George Wallace and McKeithen and Johnson would have been jumping up and down, screaming in the streets defiance. Now, Wallace, of course, is still trying. I know what he's going to try, but I think I can handle that, and that is he's going to try to get these congressmen to make some drastic pronouncement. Well, they're not going to do that. I've already talked enough of them to begin with. Politically and otherwise, it's not to their advantage to do it, because they know what the law is. But if I can keep Wallace tied into a situation where he's muzzled to a point and where he's got to say that he'll abide by the law, and that's what he did in this thing. He said that no one has a right to defy the law, and we will abide by the law. The only point that was raised is that the regulations promulgated under the law ought to also encompass those things that the law permits and not go beyond the law. Well, I know this is a matter that can get into interpretation, but irrespective of that, if we can keep Wallace on that plane and keep him in that vein and along that line and nothing else, And it's a heck of a lot better for your standpoint as well as mine and the others in this part of the country that he's not trying to run around here and lead some revolt against the federal government or some revolution.
It is.
And this is what I'm trying to do, and I may be...
Well, God bless you and God help you.
Doing, that's right. At this point, I don't know whether I'm going to be blessed or helped, but I just wanted you to know what the score was.
And I do.
They've asked me, they said, now, have you talked to the president? I said, no, I haven't talked to the president. I said, I'm trying to do this thing, dealing simply on the basis that I've outlined, and I'm going to keep on saying that. I'm just going to let me see if I can't keep the thing from developing into anything that would be embarrassing to you, because your name or your administration has never been mentioned. And all we said is that we want to have our congressman try to talk to the HEW and get them to let us know what the rules of the game are going to be. Now, we aren't pushing HEW, and I'm not trying to hammer out any hard line, but on the other hand, Mr. President, I think those people over there have got to understand that we can't wait till June the 28th to have them blow the whistle on us down here. They have got to go ahead and start either get on or get off the pot and either start approving some plans or telling us what the hell's wrong with them, why they won't approve. Because we out here every day beating our brains out trying to get these little school boards to come in with a plan for desegregation that'll be agreeable to them. So I think with Buford Ellington, if you'll give Buford a rein and get Buford to get Tony Celebrezze to really make an effort, I think we can make a smooth transition. But if it just wouldn't, they just wouldn't throwing up ultimatums about complete desegregation of faculties and all this within 60 or 90 days, I mean, we know what's got to be done and we'll do it. But just tell them don't make a big news release out of everything that they've got to say it must be done. Now, I know that's hard for them to keep from doing that, but it just stirs people up. I mean, good people, people that wouldn't normally get excited about it.
I'll talk to them in the morning. Here's a sweetheart of yours just came.
All right,
in.
How you feeling otherwise?
I'm having hell. I'm just having all kinds of hell.
Listen, I got my deer head the other day.
Did you like it?
I sure did. It's a beauty, and I've got it hung up out here, and I can't think of anything that I would cherish more. And I want you to know that J.B. Fuqua got his the same day. We're just
poor little old Bobby. I wonder he got his. We're going to lose him. You know that,
yes,
don't you?
I know it. He's back up there.
Now, one of his days are just numbered. I get a report
home,
from...
I went over to see him the other day. He came down here and sat on the bench, you know, for 2 days, a week ago. And I went over there to see him. I just acted like, you know, I happened to be in the building. But, of course, he looks awful, and I gather this. I'm bringing somebody up there that's a friend of his that wanted to see him, and they wanted an excuse to come up there Tuesday. So I said, come on, go with me. You can tell him you came with me, and you just happened to want to.
Dude, I'd love for you to come by if you have a moment and can. Why,
well, if I can,
please
I'll,
do.
I'll call you, and I'll try.
You just be wonderful, too, and just make old Buford bring you in. We'll visit, whatever we've done. We got awful serious situation in Vietnam. They're trying to knock us out of there, and we got 22,000 men in Dominican Republic. It may be at war with 42,000 of theirs right quick any minute, and we just trying our best to put together a package that's we say Constitution C, Communist No, and trying to make the Mexicans understand it. And it's pretty hard, and they're pretty hungry, and they're pretty emotional. And it's a pretty bad thing, but I had to move because if I didn't, I'd had a fait accompli, and it'd been too late to cry over spilled milk.
I admire you for what you've done, and down here, I assure you that what you've done as far as this state's concerned, you had almost unanimous approval. I haven't heard anybody say that they didn't appreciate what you have done, so you stick to your gun. You've got the support all the way on what you did in those times.
Here's my sweetheart. I want to say hello, Carl.